siamo assieme a Gerald Raunig per globalproject.info. Buongiorno Gerald. Hi. Ieri sera hai presentato il tuo libro recentemente tradotto in italiano, Fabbriche del Sapere, Industrie della Creatività, pubblicato per l'editore Ombre Corte. La presentazione è andata molto bene, direi. Qui vogliamo provare ad approfondire con te alcuni concetti chiave del tuo libro. Parto da un'osservazione generale. Fabbriche del sapere, industria della creatività, non parla semplicemente, anche se lo fa principalmente, di settori come l'università e le industrie creative, ma pone il problema più generale dell'organizzazione delle nuove forme dei movimenti sociali per come stanno accadendo in questi anni.
Yes, it's quite a condensed book, which, as you said, doesn't really reduce itself to certain social fields or sectors. The terms factory and industry come from a certain come from a certain Guattarian idea of a machine that is transformed also on these levels of factory and industry. So we're not speaking about the usual terms of factory on the one hand, and also not of the usual terms of industry, not even in the sense of creative industries, but about very specific aspects. In the sense of in the case of factories, I think it is most important to think about new forms of reterritorialization of space, and in the case of industries, it's more about the new forms of reterritorialization of time. So in the case of the factory, it's much about, about the aspects of sapere, of knowledge production in times of cognitive capitalism. But I'm not, as I said yesterday, I'm not interested in putting up a new revolutionary subject, heroic subject of revolution, which would be in a way the subject of the intellectual or even of the students. This is not my idea, but I'm more interested in the factory of knowledge in a very narrow sense, the university as a space of condensation, and as a set of reterritorialization of space. That's the idea of the factory combined with the university.
Questo per quanto riguarda l'università, quindi appunto la fabbrica del sapere come luogo di una possibile, in effetti fattuale, condensazione e riterritorializzazione. Mentre parliamo adesso del lato dell'industria, come leggi le industrie creative, come sviluppi questo concetto portandolo oltre l'analisi a cui siamo abituati?
I mean, the creative industries are clearly a social environment where you can find the utmost strongest form of deterritorialization of time. It's clear that we are not we don't have the 9-to-5 situation of Fordist labor anymore, but especially in creative industries or the field that is called, maybe wrongly called, creative industries, you can find this modulation of the time very well. And there, for me, the question is how to turn around this, what's the word in English? Asserviente is the Italian term, this subservient is the term in English. Subservient, how to turn around this subservient deterritorialization in something which is in a way self-organized, a self-organized form of deterritorialization then, which would be, in my sense of the word, turning around industry into industriosity.
Industria in industriosità. Sì. E qui introduciamo un tema che è centrale nel libro e che secondo me è importantissimo sotto due punti di vista, cioè l'analisi della coppia deterritorializzazione e riterritorializzazione. Molto spesso frequentando gli ambienti, come dire, o avendo a che fare con lavoratori impiegati nell'ambito cognitivo e in particolare impiegati poi nel settore artistico, creativo e culturale, molto spesso c'è un'idea di deterritorializzazione forse troppo superficiale, per esempio l'esaltazione della retorica nomadica, come se l'intellettuale, il creativo, il lavoratore cognitivo, l'artista potessero confliggere con lo status quo semplicemente attraverso una successione di fughe, inseguendo sempre nuovi festival, nuovi grants, nuove borse di studio, nuove biennali, in questo moto perpetuo che in qualche modo dà la sensazione di sfuggire a quello che è il conformismo della macchina del sistema, ma che in realtà appare costruito esattamente a misura di sistema. Tu invece lo tratti in maniera differente e credo che il tuo libro serva anche su un piano più filosofico a chiarire e a evitare un certo uso superficiale delle teorie legate a Deleuze e Guattari su questa polarità. Quindi se puoi approfondire questo tema deterritorializzazione e riterritorializzazione.
Yes, it's as you said, it's a great problem also on the theoretical level that with this superficial appropriation of Deleuze or Guattarian concepts like this pair of de- and reterritorialization, especially on the side of deterritorialization, you have this affirmation of something which is there in machinic capitalism. You have the practices of flight, of nomadism, of deterritorialization as subservient deterritorialization and machinic capitalism. And it's just the production of this subservient deterritorialization by the artists, the cultural producers and so on, that makes up this problem.
Una sorta di adesione volontaria.
Sì. It has to do with self-government, with self-precarization, and is in a way the negative side of this aspect. But I'm also interested in kind of finding out the how to turn around these flows of subservient deterritorialization in something which is not subservient, but disobedient and not servile.
Ecco, e questo tu nel libro lo leggi a partire dall'inchiesta sui movimenti, in particolare movimenti studenteschi e Occupy. I movimenti che cosa ci propongono sul piano di una, appunto, di un'applicazione di una deterritorializzazione e riterritorializzazione che sia conflittuale? Quali sono i punti che tu isoli nella tua analisi?
Again, it is it's a quite complex situation. We have to search for the non-subservient, non-docile, the disobedient aspects of both deterritorialization and reterritorialization. And on both terrains, we have to take into account the spatial and the time, the temporal levels. On the level of reterritorialization of space, as I said, I think the university has a certain function. Of course, also other forms of adensamento, of condensation of space, like centri sociali, for instance. But the university is, in a way, the follow-up of the factory. The cognitive workers are condensed in the university, nowhere else. Otherwise, they are sitting in front of the computers in a kind of solitary way, even if they are connected via the internet or whatever. So on the level of condensation or reterritorialization of space, I think it's very important to use this possibility, potentiality of the university as the occupation movements in 2008, I think it was, or at least some years ago, also as the Onda Anomala tried to do it. So it's, again, it's not the heroic subject of the cognitive worker, but it's the very space of the university as reterritorialization. On the other hand, I'm trying to interpret the occupation movements of 2011, meaning, of course, the so-called Arab Spring, 15M in Spain, or the Occupy movement and others, as also reterritorialization of time. Because I think when you think about the occupation practices, there is maybe even more important than occupying the space, it's a form of reappropriation of time there, which is connected, of course, to a new form of aesthetics of existence, to new forms of life, which are experienced only in a nutshell there, only as a micropolitical practice, maybe as an example for something which could become more molecular, more connected with the pores of the everyday life, of the molecules of everyday life.
Ti ringrazio. Un'ultima domanda. Tu hai provato a partire per questa tua analisi da un testo letterario, da un racconto di Kafka. Il racconto è La cantante Giuseppina, ossia Il popolo dei topi. Che cosa hai trovato in questo racconto di straordinario, tanto da dedicargli due capitoli nel tuo libro?
It's important for me to experiment also with language and with overcoming the usual either a rhetorical political text or the more academic text. So that's why I'm always trying to involve certain aspects of aesthetic production in my books. And in this case, it is the last story that Kafka wrote. It is often misunderstood as kind of his testament, saying that he is thinking about the relationship between multitude and singularity as the artist, the connection between the artist himself and the masses, which is okay, but not in this kind of only biographical sense. So it's much more for me. It's really the question, of the connection between art and politics, but even more, as I said, between singularities and multitudes. And I think there I should not tell anymore, but ask the people to read either Kafka himself or my book.
Allora, un grande ringraziamento a Gerard Rauning da parte naturalmente di Global Project e di Sale Docs. Il libro Fabbriche del Sapere, Industria della Creatività, edito da Ombre Corte, e buona lettura.